Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. We want to begin reading with verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of God. Now I pray you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So everything has its proper position, proper order. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of man, the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God covered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. We most recently have looked at the natural order that is given to us in creation, that is, the order being natural is the order in creation that was given to us. We looked at it some length, along with its natural symbols. That it displayed. That is, short hair on a man is his natural symbol of his position of authority. Long hair on a woman is her natural symbol of submission unto the man, unto her husband. God intentions. That more than the natural order, with its natural symbols, be displayed in his churches. We've just briefly touched on the surface of that. In his churches, he intends that the spiritual order or the supernatural order be displayed by divine symbols. What are those divine symbols? Well, this chapter touches on those divine symbols. The man is to remove his hat and remain uncovered while in the place of prayer, and preaching. The woman is to have her head covered with an artificial covering when in the place of prayer or preaching. Let's look again at verses 4 through 6 in this chapter. Every man praying or prophesying, preaching, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. What is said here, and I suppose because of what was said in verse 3 about the proper order, is there, it would be easy to think that a man who is in the place of praying and preaching with his head covered would dishonor his head, which is Christ. But to show you that's not what he's talking about, he's talking about his physical head. He dishonors his physical head. What is the honor of his physical head? Short hair symbolizing his position of authority. And to enter into the place of praying and preaching with his head covered, he's dishonoring that head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. These two verses, what is the covering talked about here? A man is to remove his hat. Artificial covering. Not his hair, but his hat. And so it follows when he's talking about the woman that she is to place on an artificial covering over top of her hair. If not, that is all one, even as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn, and it is the shaving of a woman, woman's head was a symbol of shame. Let her be covered. Let her put on an artificial covering. Therefore, we have natural and spiritual, or natural and supernatural positions with corresponding symbols to teach both. The natural is teaching man short hair, teaching his position of authority, long hair on the woman, teaching her submission to the man. As they enter into the assembly, the man's head uncovered is still showing forth his place, his position within the body of Christ as a man. And the woman, as she enters in with her head covered, is showing forth her position of submission. Submission to the men who are praying and preaching the Word of God in the assembly. And thus, showing to onlookers the submission of the church to Christ. Covered that. The natural symbol was given to the woman to ultimately correspond and point to the divine symbol. That divine symbol includes the church in submission to Christ. And that symbol, when she enters the church, is her head covered with an artificial covering, a veil, a hat, something of that nature in the place of prayer and praying, preaching. Look with me at verse 13. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely? Is it well? Is it fit that a woman pray unto God uncovered? He says here, after what I have just said, and everything that I've said, down to the verse, is it well, is it fit then, that a woman pray unto God uncovered? No, it's not fit. No, it's not well. These are the commands of God, the words of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. When a woman refuses to wear the divine symbol in the assembly, the place of prayer and preaching, she is in rebellion. She is in rebellion against the very testimony that nature itself teaches. Her God-given place in society. Her hair is given her for. A covering. For. The word for is like or corresponding to a covering. Is like a covering. Is corresponds to a covering. Look with me at the 15th verse. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering, or like a covering, corresponding to a covering. It is not the covering spoken of being placed upon her head when she enters the assembly of prayer and preaching, but it is like a covering. He says, it is something that is well. It is elegant. It's well. It's fitting. And as beautiful her hair is. It is her glory. Men, why do you think women spend so much time in front of the mirror getting the hair just right and to satisfy themselves? It's because it is their glory. They delight in it. Refusal to wear the divine symbol is all one as if she were shorn. Back there in verse 5. Or shaved. She is portraying, according to verse 5 and verse 6, she is portraying that she is a woman in shame. She is portraying a shameful woman. And that she is in rebellion, not only to her husband, but in God's eyes as well. Let's read verse 6 along with it. For if the woman be not covered, if she comes into the assembly without an artificial covering on her head, let her also be shorn. Let her shave her head bald. That's the actual rendition of that. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, and it is, we have looked in the past at the fact of the shame of a woman being shorn. That is, the woman was in rebellion to her husband by the fact that she left her husband, went out and committed adultery with another man, or some other offense. She was shorn, and for all to see that she was in open rebellion, and it was shame to her. It was shameful to her. We said, here's her glory, and it is cut off. And she goes around bald-headed because of the rebellion that she bears. Godly women Godly women who love the Lord Jesus Christ also love his word. And I can say the same about godly men. Godly men who love the Lord Jesus Christ also love his word. What does John chapter 14 and verse 15 tell us? John chapter 14, and I can quote it. I have quoted it many times to you. But I want you to see it. John 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, what did I say? Godly women or men who love the Lord Jesus Christ also love his word. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandment. Keep my words. Is 1 Corinthians 11 the word of God? Because it's in the book, we have to say it's the word of God. We know that he did not put anything there frivolous or that was just for a certain time period that doesn't apply to us today, but yet we have it in our Bibles to read it today to tell us about some goings on years before that did not pertain to us? No. Something he wanted his churches to know. So godly women who love the Lord Jesus Christ also love his word. And I have to pause there and ask you, do you love his word? Do you love the Lord, first of all? And if you answer yes to that, well, then you love his word. And you obey his word. You obey his commandments. The only way for us to draw near to the Lord the one that we profess our love for is to be obedient to his precious word. I read there in John chapter 14 and verse 15. But now turn with me to another passage that maybe will provoke your thought even further. It has mine. Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 44. Pay attention to these words. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. Let me ask you, have you heard of him? Have you heard of him? Do you obey him? As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. They shall submit to me. The Lord in New Testament scriptures that we've looked at repeatedly commands wives to be in subjection to their own husbands. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord, as it is proper in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I just picked out a couple of these. Along with them are Ephesians 5, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So these scriptures tell wives that they are to be in subjection to their own husbands, as it carries over into the church. The women are to be in subjection to the men as far as praying and prophesying go. We've already seen that the symbol of that, when they enter into the assembly, is the artificial covering being put upon their head, commanded by the words of the Lord to us. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, and I know that we have read, well, I believe we've read every one of these verses at one time or another in this study. 34 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, let your women, addressed to the church at Corinth, as we're going to see, the churches, let your women keep silence in the churches. Doesn't just specify wives now. Women in the churches are to be silent. That is, they are to be silent, being in submission to the man who is leading in prayer and preaching of the word. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, in the natural setting, which is under the law, in the natural setting, they are to be in submission to their husbands. The symbol for that submission in the natural setting is long hair on the women, short hair on the man, place of authority. So he says, that is the natural order. When you come into the churches, the woman is to still be in submission to the man, the men, pray and preach within the services. Look with me now at 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. And we'll look at verses 11 and 12 again. Still, you can say he's speaking to the churches. He's speaking to a pastor, a young pastor, giving instructions to him. And he says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. She is to be in silence. She is to be in submission in the house of the Lord, in the place of prayer and preaching of God's Word. One other passage. And that doesn't mean it's the least of the passages, for it is a powerful passage of Scripture. Verse 5 of Titus chapter 2, and verse 5. There, I got it, didn't I? Titus chapter 2, and verse 5. Well, I'm going to back up here. We can't just... Verse 3. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Aged women, the elder women, they are to be in behavior as becometh holiness. Women, are you striving for holiness? If you're striving to be well-pleasing to the Lord, if you're striving to be pleasing to God, you're striving for holiness. What does that entail? That entails being obedient of God, being obedient to God's word, so that the aged women be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. Teach the younger women to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient, or submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Women, when you're not striving for holiness and you're not being obedient, by not being obedient to the Word of God, by not being in submission to your own husbands, which is reflected by your long hair outside in the world, and it is reflected by your covering on your head when you come into the assembly, you're giving occasion for the Word of God to be blasphemed, to be defamed. And what did we see about that this morning in our Sunday school class? It's serious business to defame the Word of God. It's serious business to defame God.
One sec. I found this on the web.
Strange. Exodus chapter 20. What's it say? that we're not to worship any other gods. And we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. But we are blaspheming the name of God, defaming the name of God, when we're disobedient to that which God has commanded us. Serious business. For you and for me, when we disobey the word of God. And I believe we'll quit there today. Next